Bhava Kunjame Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjame Hari Kopi channa pala bhagravare dhari Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Prajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanacharya Yamuna Tira Bhanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Prabhupada Sutta Sri Shrimad Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Samaved Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gaura Premananda All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Garanga Haribo. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Mastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Bacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavade Paskacha Desitarane Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Written from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, The Atrocities of King Kamsa, Text 43. Right. Is that right? Okay. Sri Shukavacha Evam Dharmantrabi Kamsa Sahasamantra Durmati Brahmahinsam Hitam Nene Kalapash Shavritosara Kalapash Shavritosara Sri Shukavacha Evam Dhrmantrabhi Kamsa Sahasamantra Durmati Brahmahimsam Hitam Mene Kalapasha Vritosara Sri Shukavacha Evam Dhrmantrabhi Kamsa Sahasa Mantra Durmati Brahmahimsam Hitam Mene Kalapasha Vritosara
Evam Dhrmantrabhi Mahamsa,
Saha Samandita Durmati,
Saha Samandita Durmati,
Brahmahimsa Mitam Mene,
Brahmahimsa Mitam Mene,
ladies. Anyone? Children? Students? Shukravacha. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, Evam, in this way, Dhrumantribhi, his bad ministers, Kamsa, King Kamsa, Saha, along with, Samantra, after considering very elaborately, Dhrumati, without good intelligence. Brahmahimsam, persecution of the Brahmins. Hitam, as the best way. Mene, accepted. Kalapasha Avrita, being bound by the rules and regulations of Yamaraj. Asura, because he was a demon. Translation purport by Śrīla Prabhupāda. Śukadeva Goswami continued, thus having considered the instructions of his bad ministers, Kamsa, who was bound by the laws of Yamaraj and devoid of good intelligence because he was a demon, decided to persecute the saintly persons, the Brahmins, as the only way to achieve his own good fortune. Purport. Śrīla Lochan Das Thakur has sung Apana Karama Bhunjaye Shamana Kahaye Lochana Das. Instead of taking good instructions from the sages and the shastras, godless non-devotees act whimsically according to their own plans. Actually, however, no one has his own plans because everyone is bound by the laws of nature and must act according to his tendency in material conditioned life. Therefore, one must change one's own decision and follow the decision of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Then one is rescued from punishment by Yamaraj. Kamsa was not uneducated. It appears from his talks with Vasudeva and Devaki that he knew all about the laws of nature. But because of his association with bad ministers, he could not make a clear decision about his welfare. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjha 22.54 says, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Khoya, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoya. If one desires his real welfare, he must associate with devotees and saintly persons and this way rectify the material condition of his life. Om Gyanatim Randasha Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshu Limitamina Jasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Panchakopa Tirubhischa Kripa Sindhu Bhivacha Patitano Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavya Namo Namaha. So today, very nice verse in purport, which leads somewhat into the also very auspicious appearances and disappearances we have today. We won't have time to go over all of them. First of all, it's Vasanti Panchami, which is the first day of spring. At least in India, I guess it is. Not so much here, although it's felt almost like summer recently. It is the appearance day of Srimati Vishnu Priya Devi, who we heard a little bit about in the reading earlier, Sri Raghunandana Thakur, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, and Pundarik Vijayanidhi. And it's the disappearance day of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I thought I'd read just a little bit about Raghunath Das Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as they're probably the most prominent acharyas of this group. Of course, Pundarik Vijayanidhi was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a nice pastime with him and Gadadhar Pandit in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Gadadhar did not fully appreciate him, thinking him being a materialistic person, but then, of course, he learned that he was a great saintly devotee behind the deceptive appearance. Vishnu Priyadasi, the second wife, the consort of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we read about earlier. I don't know so much about Raghunandana Thakur, but let's look a little bit at Raghunath and Das Goswami, and then we'll return back a little bit to this purport. Of course, the purport talks about the association of devotees and the value of sadhu sangha, the association of saintly personalities. So one way that we associate with great saintly personalities is by hearing. Since they have long since disappeared from our material vision hundreds of years ago, we can still get the benefit of associating with these great saints by hearing about their lives and hearing about their bhakti, about their devotion. So first a little bit about, and of course there's so much that could be said about Raghunath Das Goswami and several pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this is a little bit of an abbreviated version. I'll read. Sri Raghunath Das took his birth in the village of Sri Krishnapur in the district of Hooghly. He was born in the Shaka era 1428, and he left the world in the Shaka era 1504 on the 12th day of the bright fortnight in the month of Ashvina. His father's name was Sri Govardhan, and his elder brother, whose elder brother was Sri Hiranyadas. Both of them were respectable, wealthy landholders belonging to the Kayasta caste. In his childhood, Sri Raghunath Das studied at the house of his priest, Acharya Sri Balaram Das. Haridas Thakur was very merciful to Balaram Das and occasionally visited his home. At these times, Raghunath Das had the good fortune of relishing Thakur Haridas's association and listened to philosophical discourses from him. Sri Raghunath Das was the only son of the family of Hiranyan Govardhan, and there was no limit to the care and affection which they showered upon him. Though he was brought up just like the son of a king by the powerful influence of saintly devotees, again, the importance of association, he realized at a very young age that material existence is temporary, and a mood of detachment towards wealth, parents, and relatives began to grow within him. Upon hearing the glories of Sri Gauranga and Nityananda, he became extremely eager to have darshan of their lotus feet. When he heard that Sri Gaurasundar had taken sannyas, I lost my place, when he heard that and was leaving Nadia forever, he rushed madly to the home of Advaitacharya in Shantipur to meet the Lord. Seeing Raghunath fall at his feet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that this was his dear most eternal associate, and he embraced Raghunath firmly. Crying, Sri Raghunath appealed to the Lord, "I will also go with you." But the Lord replied that he would not take him along at that time, yet upon his return from Vrindavan, Raghunath should, under any pretext, come to Nilachala to see him. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a narration of how Sri Raghunath Das was arrested by the Nabs men and his subsequent release from bondage of family life. In that chapter, there's also a description of the Panihati festival, as well as Raghunath's pastimes in Jagannath Puri with Sri Gaurasundar. After Lord Chaitanya's disappearance, Raghunath went to Vrindavan. So he's now in Vrindavan. Sri Raghunath used to reside at Sri Radhakund. At that time, Radhakund had not yet been excavated, though Raghunath often meditated upon how to beautifully excavate the kund. Once a wealthy merchant walked the long, difficult road to Sri Bhadarikshashram, With great devotion, he worshipped Sri Badranarayan and offered a large portion of his wealth in charity. That night, Sri Badranarayan appeared to him in a dream and said, "You should go to the village in Braj named Aritgram, where you will find my devotee, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. To him you should deliver all your wealth. If he refuses to accept it, tell him I sent you and remind him about restoring Radhakund." The merchant happily returned to his home and then went on to Braj, where he met Sri Raghunath and explained everything to him. Astonished, Raghunath gave him permission to restore both Radhakund and Shyamakund. Raghunath Das Goswami was always engaged in worshipping Sri Radha Govinda within his mind. One day in his meditation, he prepared and offered sweet rice to Sri Radha Krishna. In great happiness, they and the gopis ate the sweet rice, and he accepted the remnants. While he was honoring the Lord's prasad, he was filled with intense love and ate at least slightly more than he was accustomed to. The next day, from morning till late afternoon, his door remained closed, causing the devotees some concern. After they knocked repeatedly on his door, it finally opened, and seeing him laying down, he said, "My health is not good," he explained. The devotees were unhappy and immediately sent word to Sanatan Goswami in Mathura. Upon hearing the news, Vallabhacharya's son sent two doctors to see Raghunath Das at Radhakund. Seeing his condition, the physicians insisted that Raghunath's illness was the result of eating too much sweet rice. And of course, this was all done in meditation. So he obviously couldn't have actually eaten too much sweet rice. The devotees were dumbfounded by such a suggestion, but eventually understood the mystery. The worship of Raghunath Das Goswami was very wonderful. Kavi Kornapur has written that Sri Raghunath Das was Rasa Manjari in Krishna Leela. According to some other persons, he was Rati Manjari. Raghunath Das has wrote many books such as Stavavali, Dhanacharita, Muktacharita, etc. So just a little bit about him. Of course, there are many pastimes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, including the Panihati festival, etc., which are very, very nice. A little bit about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was born in the year 1654, Shaka era. There seems to be some controversy, and some places say it was 1638. So actually, if you notice, on some of these acharyas, we don't really have appearance days, only disappearance days. And I think that's, I've asked about that. I think because often they don't really know when they're appearing. They don't even know his appearance year, what to speak of, probably the exact date. So, but we do, of course, have the disappearance days. So that's the day that we typically worship. He was born in the district of Nadia in a place called Prasida Devagram. He appeared in the Radia line of Brahmins. He had two brothers, Sri Rambhadra Chakravarti and Sri Raghunath Chakravarti. Srila Chakravarti went on to live in the Murshidabad district of West Bengal in Syedabad, where he received mantra initiation from Sri Krishna Charana Chakravarti. He lived for a long time in the house of his Gurudev, where he wrote many books. When Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur lived in Nadi, he closely studied the scriptures, beginning with the study of Sanskrit grammar, poetry, and rhetoric. It is said that even as a boy in school, he was an undefeatable scholar who could overcome anyone in argument and debate. From an early age, he was indifferent toward family life. For the purpose of binding his son in the contract of family life, Vishwanath's father arranged for his marriage when he was very young. He remained a married man only for a short time. Soon, he renounced his wife and home and went to live in Vrindavan. After this, his parents and relatives made many unsuccessful attempts to induce him to return to family life, but Vishwanath Chakravarti was fixed in his determination to renounce worldly life and surrender himself completely to the service of Krishna. After having come to Vrindavan Dham, Sri Vishwanath took up his residence in the Bhajan Kutir of Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami on the banks of Radhakund, where there lived a disciple of Krishnadas Kaviraj whose name was Mukundadas. There, Sri Vishwanath Chakravarti made a careful study of the Goswami literature. In that holy place, he later wrote many commentaries on the books of the Goswamis. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur established the worship of the deity Sri Gokulananda. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was also known as Haribalabhadas. Vishwanath's title Chakravarti was awarded to him by the devotees. Generally, this title designates one who maintains Varti, a circle, chakra, of influence. He who reveals the jewel of devotion to Vishwanath, the Lord of the universe, and thus expands the circle of bhakti, is a chakravarti. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has written many books, among which are the following: Commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sartha Darshani Tika on the Bhagavad Gita, Sartha Varshana Tika, Alankara Kostuba, Ujvala Nilamani, etc., and many books of the Goswamis, including Bhaktivisamrita Sindhu of Rupa Goswami, also commentaries on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and also original works such as Sri Krishna Bhavanamrita, Svapna Vilasamrita, hard to pronounce, and Madhurya Kandambini. That's a fairly well-known one. That one's in print, and many devotees have read that one. The Diksha Guru Parampara of Sri Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur is given as follows: Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lokanath Goswami, Narottam Das Thakur, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, Krishna Charna Chakravarti, Radha Raman Chakravarti, then Vishwanath Chakravarti. His primary follower was Baladeva Vijayabhushana. Wasn't a Diksha disciple, but a Shiksha disciple of his. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur studied extensively under all of them when he was in Shayadavad before going to Vrindavan, where he met Mukunda Das Goswami, a disciple of Krishnadas Kaviraj, and studied the Goswami literatures. He disappeared on this day, the Vasant Panchami day in the month of Magh. He was also known as the crest jewel of the Vaishnavas because of his pure devotion, scholarship, and realized perception of Radha Gokulananda's intimate conjugal pastimes. Gaudiya authorities say that Rupa Goswami is the Vag Devatar, an incarnation of the god of speech, and Gaudiya Acharyas, especially among his direct disciples, believe that he was an incarnation of Rupa Goswami. I think that's a speculation. You know, anyway, some people have said that. Among all Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, only Vishwanatha Chakravarti comes close to matching Srila Rupa Goswami's profound realizations of the absolute truth. In other words, a somewhat subjective statement, but I happen to agree. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur was the protector, guardian, and acharya during the middle period, 1600 to 1700, of the historical development of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. If you actually kind of look at the history of our sampradaya, after the first couple generations, after Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis and up to about Jiva Goswami, Jiva Goswami, I think, disappeared sort of the end of the 1500s, beginning of 1600. There was sort of a long period of time between then and then later we get to the time period of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where Vaishnavism was not very prominent. But during that period, there were some great acharyas, like Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and they say that middle area, and at least they kept the spirit of bhakti and continued the writings and the preaching of bhakti during that time, even though Vaishnavism was not as prominent as it later became in the world. One thing in a dream, Lord Sri Krishna ordered Vishwanatha to make commentaries on the Goswami books. Immediately he started writing prolifically. Clouds would shield him from the sun whenever he sat to write. Once a torrential downpour flooded the area where Vishwanatha was writing his Bhagavad commentaries. Miraculously, not a drop touched Vishwanatha or his manuscript. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur wrote over 40 Sanskrit books on the science of pure devotion to Radha Giridhari. He also made the sweetest, most highly realized Rasika Tikas, commentaries on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and the works of Rupa Goswami, Kavi Karnapur, and Narottam Das Thakur. His samadhis in the Radha Gokulananda temple courtyard in Vrindavan. And we should also mention, of course, that he is the author of Guruvastakam, the song we sing at Mangal Arti in praise of the spiritual master every day. So he was also a musician and songwriter as well, as a great author. So see, these are some of the great personalities that we have this wonderful opportunity to associate with through their words, through their songs, and their writings like that. So today, a very, very auspicious day where we have five appearances and one disappearance of great Vaishnavas. Returning to our verse, I should probably read the verse again so we remember what. Shukadev Goswami continued, thus having considered the instructions of his bad ministers, Kamsa, who was bound by the laws of Yamaraj and devoid of good intelligence, because he was a demon, decided to persecute the saintly persons, the Brahmins, as the only way to achieve his own good fortune. So, we have examples in the purport, of course, Srila Prabhupada quotes a verse of Sadhu Sangha about the power of association of saintly personalities. So we have the example of the effects of both bad association and good association given to us here in this verse and purport. So it's a very important topic to understand how the association of others actually colors our own consciousness and how we can benefit or to our detriment, experience the effects of association. So I'd like to read this quote that's from the Hari Bhakti Suhudaya, quote in Nectar Devotion, Chapter 12. About the power of association. My dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone which will reflect anything which is put before it. Who's the author of that? Who spoke that? Hiranyakasipu, yes. actually, it's interesting because we just heard Kamsa speaking some fairly good philosophical commentary in his discussions of Vasudeva Devaki, and also Hiranyakasipu. There's that one chapter in the Bhagavatam when he speaks, and occasionally even the demons in those times, in former times, even they had some philosophical understanding. So this was a nice point that Hiranyakasipu makes about the power of association. And then Srila Prabhupada, right after that, comments in the Nectar Devotion, similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly the same action will be there. So the idea is that our consciousness tends to reflect what it associates with. Just as we see a crystal or a glass or something, the light reflects through it. You know, so in the same way, our hearts will tend to reflect the consciousness that comes about through association. And that association can either be positive or negative. As we see, Kamsa did have some philosophical understanding. Even Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, he says, Kamsa was not uneducated. It appears from his talks with Vasudeva and Devaki that he knew all about the laws of nature. So he had some understanding, even of Vedic knowledge. But he was influenced by his demoniac advisors. So even though he had some change of heart, he goes back, he associates with his demoniac friends, so-called friends, and they turn his mind around, as Bhakti Marik Swami was talking about yesterday. His mind was flipped, was turned around, and he went back to his demoniac ways. So very, very powerful example of this bad association. And of course, we can also be influenced by bad association, and therefore we're encouraged to stay in the association of devotees. So whoever we associate with, we tend to take on that consciousness a little bit. Some of you students probably have experienced this. You sometimes act a little bit differently when you're with some people than when you're with others. Or sometimes you tend to act more like your friends. Depending on who your friends are, you might act a little bit differently. I know you do. But that's association. We tend to become influenced by whoever we're around. So it's obviously we want to have good association. And in fact, the most important association is, of course, to associate with devotees. The Nectar of Instruction, verse 2, says that our devotional service is spoiled by associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. So we don't want to spoil our life by bad association of worldly people. Rather, we want to gain the value of Vaishnava association. And that's one of the really wonderful things about being in a Krishna conscious school or having the value of Gurukula education for you students, because not only, of course, are you learning about Krishna and, of course, all your other academic subjects, but even more importantly, you're getting that very, very great value of associating with other devotees. You get to be with other devotees, and your teachers are devotees, and your other students are devotees. So you all tend to influence each other in a positive way to remember Krishna and to remember this philosophy of Krishna consciousness. So, we have so many examples in our own lives of how important association is. And for many of us, who were not Krishna conscious from birth, we didn't have that opportunity from the very beginning of life to be in a Gurukula, to associate with other devotee children, to have devotee parents. Many of us did not have that opportunity. And so, therefore, because of the association of the materialistic society that we lived in, all of our habits were bad. We simply had bad habits. We had no understanding of what was really right and wrong. We had no understanding of higher philosophical truth, of understanding who was Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when we gained that association of Srila Prabhupada, that all changed. And of course, many of us can have direct experience of hearing from, even if we didn't immediately see Srila Prabhupada, just by associating with his books, which we all can do, we can associate with the Vani of Srila Prabhupada through the Srimad Bhagavatam and through so many literatures. We experienced that our heart changed just through that association. I've told the story several times, but so I always like to talk about Srila Prabhupada. The first time I saw Srila Prabhupada in 1972 in New Vrindavan, and he was giving the Bhagavad Gita class in the evening, and I was brand new. I had really, you know, I started chanting a little bit, but I didn't know much about too much about Krishna consciousness. And I didn't understand anything Srila Prabhupada said, really. I like to say, oh yes, I was so moved by the wonderful philosophy. I didn't really understand very much of what he said. But by his association, I knew immediately that this was my eternal spiritual master, that Krishna consciousness was the absolute truth, and I was going to do this the rest of my life. And that was like, and they say from this verse says from a moment, lava is the word, a moment's association with a saintly personality. It was seeing Srila Prabhupada at one time that changed my entire life. And I never wanted to do anything besides being a Krishna conscious devotee and be a disciple and follower of Srila Prabhupada from that association. That's the great power of association of devotees. And of course, you know, we could say, well, all devotees aren't Srila Prabhupada, but all devotees reflect, to some degree, devotional service. We all reflect that power that Srila Prabhupada had, that he exhibited in fullest. We all have at least some small part of that same potency to be able to touch others through association. So association is a very, very important thing. This is a very nice verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes, sadhu sangha sarva shastra koya. And of course this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks this in the 22nd chapter of the Majjhalila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And is, of course it says, the verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. And then the next verse of in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.18.13, which is, the value of a moment's association with the devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of the heavenly planets or liberation from matter. What to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death. Meant for death means people who simply take birth, they die in this material world, and take birth again without understanding the real purpose of life. So, that is the difficulty. Without the association of guru, of sadhu, of saintly personalities, you know, we just simply live and die without understanding this greater value of Krishna consciousness, without understanding what is the purpose of life. So, this association of devotees is one of the most critical aspects of our practice of devotional service, of our sadhana. It's described, of course, in the Nectar of Devotion that there are five primary practices. Of the 64 practices that Rupa Goswami enunciates, he says five are most important. And I was going to ask if they knew the five, but they're gone. Okay. I know you all know them. What are the five most essential practices? I can't hear anything up here.
Accepting the guru.
Accepting the guru?
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, we could say, you know, in other words, the 10 principal first points, five of them have to do with the guru. But of the five practices of sadhana, it's more specifically stated as sadhu sangha, the association of devotees, chanting of Hare Krishna, Bhagavatam, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, reciting in the holy place. Yes, and worshiping the deity. Okay, we all got him now? He's fine. Deity worship, worshiping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting Hare Krishna, living in a holy place, and association of devotees, sadhu sangha. So, and Rupa Goswami says in the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu, he says that these five, he says, have amazing power. Those are the words he used. Amazing power to transform our lives, to becoming Krishna conscious. So these are not taken very lightly. And we see the power of Sadhu Sangha in so many ways throughout different pastimes in the Bhagavatam, of course, discussing the power of the association of Srila Prabhupada, which I and many of you have experienced. One of our prime examples, of course, was Narada Muni, in both ways. First of all, in his becoming Krishna conscious, as taking association, and then as being a powerful devotee of the Lord, giving association. So, of course, when he was a small child, 5 years old, his mother was a maidservant. He was not like a high-class Brahmin, yogi, anything. Very, very simple birth as the son of a maidservant. I don't even know if he had a father, or they knew the father. Father's not mentioned, as far as I know. But, anyone know? No. Okay, we won't speculate. But he had the good fortune that at times, what they called the Bhakti Vedantas, great saintly people would stay at the house that he was staying at during the rainy season, during Chaturmasya, and his mother would serve these great saintly persons, and he would serve along with them. He would take remnants of their prasadam, and just by a little bit of association with these great saintly personalities, then he later, this was the impetus for him to later perfect his life, and in his next lifetime became Narada Muni, you know, one of the greatest devotees of Krishna. And we can see that in Narada Muni, in so many of his different pastimes, you notice he's all throughout the Bhagavatam. He shows up, you know, practically in every canto, you know, in some pastime or another. And his association is always, you know, is always creating devotees. One of the main, biggest examples, of course, is Magrari the hunter. Very, very terrible person. Not only did he kill animals, but he half killed them just sort of watch them in pain, dying. And Magrari was doing this, and Narada Muni came up along with Parvati Muni. They happened to be wandering by. Narada Muni always seems to be wandering by at the opportune moment, not by chance, of course. Krishna's directing him in all of his travels. You know, and of course, he preached to Magrari the hunter. And Magrari became a great Vaishnav through that association of Narada Muni. He accepted, it's not that he was a philosophically inclined person, but he accepted Narada Muni as a saintly person. And he accepted his instructions, knowing the qualities of Narada Muni. And because of that, accepting him, he took the association of Narada Muni in the most positive way and changed his whole life. So, again, we want to stay in association of devotees. We want to relish and appreciate that association of devotees wherever possible. Of course, people always sometimes, you know, there's always the questions, if I don't say it, it comes up anyway, that, well, what about is it always good association? Is it always equal? Or, you know, should I associate with anybody, with all devotees? Well, no, we use a little bit of intelligence. And not only do we use a little bit of intelligence, but the scriptures give us some clear instruction on how this is done. We can understand from the Bhagavatam and from other sources that there are, you know, different classes of devotees. And we tend to recognize those devotees by their spiritual attainment or their adhikari. So, you know, we say that sometimes devotees are classified as uttama adhikari, madhyama adhikari, or neophyte adhikari. Adhikari means one's spiritual attainment or advancement. So we, in reference to the advancement devotee, we obviously associate in different ways. And this is described that in the Nectar of Instruction, text 5, says one should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. So that's the first class, the Kanishta Adhikari, the third class devotee. Someone who simply chants the name of, anyone who chants the name of Krishna is a devotee. If they chant Hare Krishna, you're a devotee, no matter what else you may or may not be doing. And we at least honor and respect that person in our mind. We don't dishonor them, we don't overly criticize. Whatever, we respect that they are a devotee chanting Hare Krishna. Then it says one should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshiping a deity. In other words, that's the second class devotee. One who is more advanced, following the rules and regulations, has taken initiation, is in the process of purification, and functioning, acting with, you know, under with sadhana as a devotee, the madhyam level, that person that we should honor and offer obeisances to. And the highest class, the Uttama Adhikari, says one should faithfully serve that pure devotee who has advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others. So one who is totally pure, totally purified in heart, has no sense of criticism within them, who is always engaged in devotional service, that pure devotee, one should serve that person faithfully and should actually offer one's life, one's service, everything to such a great personality. So also, Prabhupada said that we should all be striving for at least the madhyam level. Now, honestly speaking, most of us are probably more on the Kanishtha platform, but at least we should be trying to become madhyam first. We don't artificially try to jump to the platform of Uttama Adhikari, being a pure devotee, because devotional service is carried out in stages, which are carefully enunciated in our scriptures, and we've been told that it takes some time to engage in the process of sadhana before one becomes completely purified. So part of that process of sadhana is learning how to associate properly. And the guru gives us guidance on how we associate with different classes of personalities. So one who's on the Madhyama Adhikari, and this is actually given several places in the scriptures, specifically in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.246, says that we offer our love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are a sincere friend to all the devotees of the Lord. We show mercy to those who are ignorant and innocent, and we disregard those who are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in other words, those who are envious or demoniac, we simply avoid their association. We really don't want anything to do with them, because as we saw, that association can be very, very powerful. Just as if Kamsa would have heeded this and not listened to his demoniac ministers, he would have been in a lot better shape. But since he didn't, he didn't disregard those who were envious, he also became even more envious and demoniac himself. But Srila Prabhupada has said that 90% of the population is innocent, not demoniac. So the majority of people we do associate with, but it's described that association is we show mercy to those who are ignorant and innocent. So how do we show mercy to those who are ignorant and innocent? Obviously, by trying to give them Krishna consciousness. And that's why Srila Prabhupada always emphasized book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan, Prasadam distribution, preaching. That is the way that we show the mercy of the Vaishnavas, and ultimately the mercy of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Guru. You know, comes through all of us ordinary devotees if we are giving the holy name and giving the Srimad Bhagavatam and giving prasadam to the innocent people that are out there. So very important instruction in how we should be acting and how we should be relating to different groups of people. So we could say so much more. I have a whole section here on offenses to devotees, but I don't think we have time today. That's a whole other class, I think. So I'll end there. And thank you very much. We should meditate upon these great personalities who are appearing or disappearing today, and see what great examples and acharyas they are, and try to associate with devotees in a positive way and become purified ourselves. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Are there any couple minutes for a question or comment? Anyone? Let's see if we got anyone else here. Okay, Pran Govinda Prabhu.
Of Jaipur, and to come, and then he took Kshetra Sannas, means he doesn't want to leave Vrindavan, and he was old, 90 years. So he sent Baladev Vidyavasan Thakur.
Right.
Then four questions was asked. That was a very big thing, because I always feel like, why Srila Prabhupada offered his Bhagavad Gita to Baladev Vidyavasan Thakur? It's a very mystery. Prabhupada didn't say much, but he just offered the Bhagavad Gita.
Right.
So then he says this four question was asked, and I feel eternally indebted to that. One of the question was that who is this Sampradaya founder? And there is no commentary of this Sampradaya that Lord Chaitanya found. And Lord Chaitanya belongs to Mayavad Sannyas. Then next question was, who is this lady next to the Lord Krishna who is not married but you worship? Literary attack on Srimati Radharani's position. And so when this question was raised, Baladev Vidyabhushan, the Govinda Vaishya revealed, he went to the Govinda Dev, and it was very nice episode, trying to squeeze it in 2 minutes. It was so nice that he has established this point, and he gave such a reference, that those references that he learned from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is undefeatable.
Mm-hmm.
Undefeatable. So if somebody ever asked, even I was asked in Calcutta while I was doing life membership, there's some Arjo Samaj, that where is this Radharani's name is there in Bhagavatam, is not there directly. But then we asked that who is the first creation of Brahma, who is the four Kumaras, and we sing that song in the temple, Prabhupada said, Sanako Sanatana Bhornita Charite.
Keep it.
Rupa Goswami Pada makes this song, he's praying to four Kumaras. Why? Because four Kumaras made this Srimati Radharani's service to Krishna as the first creation being in this universe that glorified Radharani's position. So he defeated all these four questions and he established what we are serving today.
Yeah, that was a very nice pastime. And Chris Baladev Vidyabhushana was a primary follower, Shiksha, disciple of Vishwanath, and yes, in that very historic meeting, established the principles of Vaishnavism. And, you know, there's so many things. But Vishwanath, of course, was a great advocate or propounder of the Parakya position of the unwedded love between Krishna and Radharani and the gopis. The and, you know, there was some debate about that. Jiva Goswami took a different position like that. So he had, but they reconciled, I think. There's ways that those are all reconciled. There are many, many very interesting and intricate philosophical issues, you know, that, and of course, those of you who have read Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's Srimad Bhagavatam commentaries know how brilliant they are. He, by the way, he took his primary source material was Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Srila and Sridhar Swami, and he was most influenced by the commentaries of Sanatana Goswami. And Vishwanath often refers to Sanatana Goswami's, what's it called, Toshana? Vaishnava Toshani is Sanatana's Bhagavatam commentary, which Vishwanath was heavily influenced by. And of course, his commentaries are very, very wonderful, very much appreciated by the Vaishnavas. And Srila Prabhupada quoted extensively of them the commentaries of Vishwanath. Okay, we should end here. Oh, sorry, one more, Ramanya Prabhu?
The very nice lecture of Species Day, like you mentioned. This is a small comment. Srila Prabhupada mentions in a very famous lecture, mentions Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, that he felt very strong inspiration. And he quotes the verse, the slok, Vyavasayam Mikatbun here, from the Bhagavad Gita, that he developed strong faith and determination with that slok to fulfill Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj's instructions to come and preach in the West, to follow his instructions of his Guru Maharaj, with that slok from Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, from his commentary, you know. Vyavasaya Mikabudhi means the strength, absolute
determination. Yeah.
He felt very strong inspiration with us, love. He says that. That's a very important connection. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Jai Prabhupada.